This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Reynolds Podcast, presented by NFL Game Pass. This is episode 17 of the current series, meaning we're now into the second half of season two. Last time out was our 50th episode since we launched the podcast, and we brought you another NFL life story that was underlined by D'Ernest Johnson's determination to defy the odds and carve out a career in pro football. If you haven't listened to that one yet, please go back and take 30 minutes to be inspired by what is an incredible story. And while you're at it, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen, as it certainly helps make us more visible to other listeners. We don't want 3, we don't want 4, we'll take a 4.5. I don't know if that's possible, but we won't take anything less than that. We want 5-star ratings. So this week's episode is no different than last, as I sit down with Matthew Wright, the kicker currently suiting up for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Matthew probably flew under the radar of most NFL fans until recently, when he scored the winning points to secure the Jags' first victory of the season against the Miami Dolphins at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That meant he's become something of an overnight sensation. As I found out, his journey has been one about desire and determination. He's been undrafted, cut from rosters, and he even played in a different league to get his NFL chance, making his story another remarkable one. I should add, though, we had some technical difficulties with my microphone at the beginning of this interview, so we apologise. Please bear with us. That poor quality is only for the first few minutes. So let's get into it then, starting off where we always do, with Matthew telling me all about how he first got into playing American football.
Football did not start until high school. I played the other three major sports. I played soccer, baseball, and basketball. And then once football came around, I dropped basketball for football. But yeah, football didn't come around till late in my life.
So did the football come off the back of soccer then, or with kicking? Or?
Yeah, so the kicker for my high school was the goalie for the soccer team as well. And he graduated, so there was no one to kick. And a bunch of my buddies played on the football team, and I was just like, yeah, sure, I get to hang out with my friends some more. I'll go kick some footballs and just mess around with it, have some fun. And then, started to realize I was pretty good at it and started to see that there was scholarships available for football. And that's when I started kind of committing more and more time to it.
What position did you play in soccer?
I was a forward for the most part.
Okay. So do you think it helped? Just obviously using your feet?
Yeah, without a doubt. Just the whole motion and the contact of the ball on your foot, it's kind of the same as hitting like a long ball across the middle with some backspin in soccer. That's kind of what you're looking for every time that you hit a field goal. And it definitely helped with that consistent motion, is being able to do that.
So once you go through high school and you get into to college, is that when you realized you were going to have an opportunity to, you know, to go from high school and like you say, get a scholarship and maybe take this quite seriously?
There's these camps called Coles Kicking Camps, and I got rated like a 5-star there. And that's when I started realizing that it was pretty serious for college. And then even coming out of college, my prospects for getting into the NFL, I honestly wasn't too sure if something was going to happen or not. That whole process is kind of murky for specialists if you're not one of the top couple guys. So, I wasn't even sure that I was going to get a shot in the NFL, and then I'm just running with every opportunity that I get.
Absolutely. We'll go through some of your journey through the NFL. But just in college, so you redshirted your first year, and a lot of people do, a lot of young players do that. What's that like, that process? Do you have to be patient? Were you kind of chomping at the bit to get playing and get kicking, or did you kind of accept that early on?
So one of the reasons I chose UCF was there was 3 seniors on roster when I got there, and those were the only 3 kickers. So I knew that I did not expect to come in and play right away. I knew that I was going to have a chance that next year. So I kind of came in expecting it, but it definitely was difficult. Throughout high school, throughout middle school, obviously I was very good at the sports that I was playing. So I was used to playing a lot. And so that was kind of like a little bit of a shock, just coming in and just watching for a whole year. But it did teach me some patience, and it taught me just focus on school for that year, focus on getting better, stronger. And so it was a good overall year for me.
What about in college, when you look back, any favorite games Any kind of moments that stand out for you there?
Favorite games. We had a bunch of shootouts in college. We scored a bunch of points. We had the conference championship game against Memphis. That was awesome. I just kicked a whole bunch of extra points. We had a game against USF that we went back and forth and scored like three or four touchdowns in the last couple minutes. And I think that was one of the most memorable games I played in.
From high school to college and then the NFL, Matthew was undrafted when he joined the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2019, where he would remain for one season. He was the backup to Chris Boswell, who, despite having a tough season prior, came with the sort of reputation that has made him one of the NFL's best kickers. And it meant that Matt Wright had his work cut out if he was to make any sort of impression at Heinz Field.
So I got there and Chris Boswell was coming off a tough year the previous year, but he still was I think right now he's the number two or three most accurate kicker of all time. So I knew I was getting into a situation with a really, really good kicker. But I think that really helped is in practice, if he missed, it was a rare occasion. So I knew that I had to be my best every single practice, every single day. And you always knew someone was watching you. And so you wanted to make sure every kick went in and every kick went in and looked good. So, Pittsburgh was a good experience and it was just a lot of competition every day, but competition is good for making sure you get better.
When you have that competition, are you ever looking at his kicks and what he's doing or, well, he missed one, that might be good for me? Or do you just solely have to focus on yourself because you're the one that's got to kick and you've got to do your own thing?
So that was a big thing that I learned right away. When I got there, I was watching him a little bit and he has a stronger leg than me. And I know that I don't have one of the strongest legs in the NFL. That's not my forte. So I would watch him and sometimes I would think, oh, I got to kick the ball harder. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I think when I started to do better is I actually tried not to watch. So whenever I'm in a competitive environment, I try my best not to watch what the other kicker is doing because there's this tendency of if I watch him miss left, I'll miss left. Because I'm thinking, don't miss left, and then I miss left. So, by the end of it, I just wouldn't watch and just focus on what I can control because, I mean, he's a good kicker. He's going to make kicks. I'm a good kicker. I'm going to make kicks. I just can only control what I can do.
You've just hinted at something that I guess is half the battle for a kicker is the mental side of it. It has to be a part of it, surely. How do you stay focused and stay positive and not allow that, or maybe I might miss left here? How do you make sure that doesn't sneak into your mind?
Yeah, honestly, kicking is 90% mental in my opinion. There's a lot of guys that have the physical talent to kick. It's mentally being able to go out there and shut out all the noise and be able to do what you do. So really what I think when I go out there to kick is I say relax, nice and easy, follow through. And then I just say over and over in my head, kick the ball, kick the ball, kick the ball. Because when it comes down to it, like I can think about, oh, I should aim here, do this, do that. It's a close game. But all that really matters is if I kick the ball that I know I kick, it should go in.
I'm going to go through a couple of the recent highs in a second. But obviously you have been through trying to make it into the NFL. You have been cut. So you were cut there. You were cut in the XFL with the Tampa Bay Vipers, right? Just take me through that process as a player, because I think it's good for fans to know the personal side of every transaction, how that was dealt with, and then how you decided you were going to bounce back from that.
Yeah. So getting cut's never easy. You get cut and you're just like, what do I do from here? Am I good enough to be doing this? Should I continue this? So that, those thoughts definitely crept into my head. After getting cut from Pittsburgh the first time, I was really, I was confident that I was going to get some more looks. I thought I had a good preseason, but nothing really happened that whole year. So it's really hard to stay up and stay positive. You can do what you can do and just, which is just kicking the ball and just trying to keep getting better. But then I got that shot in the XFL and that didn't work out either. A bunch of stuff happened there that just didn't work out. But getting cut from there again is like, just got cut from Pittsburgh, just got cut from there. Started thinking like, is kicking a thing for me? Or maybe I should just go back to the real world and get a normal job. But just keeping that faith and just continually trying to get better and better is all you can really do. And yeah.
How excited were you then to get that chance with Pittsburgh in 2020? And again, I'd be fascinated to know how your mindset, because you're playing week 13, then you're back on the practice squad, playing week 16, playing week 17. So kind of in and out again. I had a friend once who was a kicker for the Panthers, and then he moved to, his name's Reese Lloyd. He was a British kicker, and he moved to the Baltimore Ravens, and he was off and on their practice squad about 8 times in a season because he was their kickoff specialist. So every time somebody got hurt and they brought in a linebacker or a corner, he got sent back to the practice squad. So he was on and off the roster. So it was only three weeks there where you were playing. What was that process like?
Yeah. So originally I was supposed to just be there because last year there was that COVID rule where you had to sit out X amount of days before you could even work out with the team. So they brought me in just in case for that little short week there where they wouldn't have been able to get somebody in time. So I really got there and I thought I was going to be on practice squad for a week, which I was still really happy about because it was something to get my name back out there again. And then that week, Boswell had something come up during the game, I guess. And I got told like 24 hours before the next game that I was going to be playing. So that's just something where like, I was there for like 5 days. A bunch of guys were like, didn't even like, who's this guy walking around the building? And then I'm playing in the game. So that's just part of that mental thing that I was talking about earlier. It's just, you have to be prepared to do your job whenever you're called upon. And then each and every week, it was still the same thing. It was, am I going to kick? Am I not going to kick? I really wouldn't know each week up until close to game time, whether I was kicking or not. And that's just, you got to, every kick, even sometimes I wouldn't get kicks with the team during the week. And I would just have to, after practice on my own, make sure I was feeling good and ready to go in case I was up.
Wow. I know I've heard it said that kickers are lonely life, but when you're walking around that building in the first few days and no one knows who you are, and then you're kicking when everyone's finished practice, did it feel kind of like quite lonely? Or just, I guess you have to get used to or prepare yourself to move around and put yourself in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, definitely. There's a funny video of Tomlin. I think it was after I made my first PAT that first game, and he goes up to, it was TJ Watt, and he's like, that's Matt. Like, good job, Matt. And TJ Watt was like, who's Matt? Like, he didn't even know that I was playing in that game, which is, it's just funny. So yeah, every week I try to focus on, like, I kick on Sundays when I'm at home by myself and try to make it as game-like as possible, which is obviously tough to do when you're on your own on the high school field. No fans, obviously, just kicking by yourself. Yeah, that's kind of the thought process that I try to do with every single kick is treat it as if it's a game. And that way, when the game time comes around, it's a little easier.
We'll be back with Matthew after this short break on the Neil Reynolds podcast.
This is Jack Crawford, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Hi, Neil. This is Gary. Do you know what this week is?
No, I don't actually. Go on.
It's week 11, and that means it's the last week that fans can get a free trial on NFL Game Pass, our presenting partner.
Wow. That sounds almost like you didn't read that. Fantastic.
I didn't.
It is worth doing. I'm just going to say, because this season is wide open, and I think to be across everything, NFL Game Pass certainly helps me when I'm doing my prep. Gary, I'm watching the games in 40 minutes. If there's something that I've been told to look out for tactically, I can go back and look at the coach's film. Coach's film's a great way to watch the game. It's the kind of end zone. You see everything that on the field, because obviously when you're watching the TV copy, you don't always see what's happening deep down the field, do you? So that is a valuable tool for me, I can tell you.
I've been trying to watch a bit of the coach's film, but I think with my knowledge, I'm still learning. So what I've done is I've gone into things more culturally. So I've been watching some of the NFL originals, and I saw a video this week with Rodrigo Blankenship, the kicker from the Colts. I never realised he's a rapper.
Yeah.
He's a rapper.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a rapper. No. He released, this is what the interview's all about with him, you know, the video they've done on the originals. It was actually really interesting, something that I get a lot out of, because, and I think some fans will, right, where I think the NFL is so great goodness. In that you can geek out with the coaches' film, but then you can actually watch videos that give you a bit more cultural background on the players, you know, where they've come Brilliant. From, sort of what we're doing with the podcast, right? But
Brilliant.
Interestingly Love as well it. With him, he is a trained journalist, Neil. He did a degree in journalism, yeah, in digital journalism as well. So maybe there'll be the Rodrigo Blankenship podcast brought to you by NFL Game Pass soon.
You never know. And he is a rapper, so he could do his own theme music.
He's got it all through the podcast, maybe.
Exactly. He's got it all going on. Things like the full game replays, coaching film, Gaming 40, you know, they're all part of the Season Pro product, which you can access via NFL Game Pass all the way up to Super Bowl 56, where we will be rapping in LA with Rodrigo Blankenship.
Oh, are you predicting the Colts will get there?
No, they're not going to be there, so he's going to be with us.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, that's a bold prediction, right? Yeah, he'll be with us, rapping his way on the podcast.
No such things. Make sure you check out NFL Game Pass. They are our presenting partner this year on the Neil Reynolds podcast.
So for more information, go to nflgamepass.com.
Yeah, that bit as well.
Back to the show, Neil.
Hi, I'm Bruce Arians, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Welcome back to the Neil Reynolds Podcast and my conversation with Matthew Wright from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, before the break, Matt told me about his stint with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the challenges around it. He was called up to the Steelers game day roster as cover for Chris Boswell, but because of COVID protocols, he wasn't fully training with the team. It meant some of his teammates, namely TJ Watt, didn't actually realize who he was, but he was still able to kick important points. In fact, in that short spell, he didn't miss once last season.
Yeah, that's correct. That gave me a lot of confidence, especially I kicked in Heinz Stadium twice and then in the Browns Stadium once. And those are two of the tougher stadiums to kick in the NFL. And it was late in the year, real cold games, a little windy. So, yeah, it gave me a lot of confidence.
I'm going to get onto this season with the Jags in just a second, but can you tell me what an aerospace engineer is? And you alluded to it just a few minutes ago that when you weren't in the NFL, you were kicking on your own on Sunday. So what was your day job and how did you fit in working to be an NFL kicker again around whatever that job is? And I forgive my ignorance. Please just educate me on what that job was.
So I was a systems engineer after I graduated with that degree. So systems engineering is basically just coding. I was on a missile defense system, so I just was doing algorithm development and some modeling stuff. That job was pretty time consuming. So my schedule was pretty brutal for a while. I would wake up at like 4 a.m. or so, give or take. And then I would work my 10-hour day at work, try to get off at like 3. And then after 3 o'clock, I would go over to my college and kick, give or take like a couple hours there. And then I would get done kicking at like 5 or 6. And then I would go try to work out. And then I would work out till like 7 or 8. And then I'd get like 30 minutes to an hour to hang out with my fiance, who, bless her soul, was so nice to me through all that, 'cause I was definitely a very, very busy man. And then, wake up and do it all again. It was pretty, pretty tough, but it was all worth it.
Wow. And that was right up until recently before you worked out and tried out with the Jags. Is that correct?
So I was on a leave of absence because I was in Detroit for this.
Yes. For training camp. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was not occurring at that time. Lockheed was very nice with me and they were very flexible. So like when I went to Pittsburgh, for example, they switched me over to part-time while I was there, 'cause I wasn't sure how long I was going to be there or if I was only going to be there a week. So I was working part-time while I was in Pittsburgh.
So, Matt, either an NFL kicker or algorithms for a missile defense system, do you like pressure?
I like not think about the pressure. That's the big thing.
That's the key. Let's talk about Jacksonville then. And obviously, you have a kicking competition ahead of the London game with Josh Lambeau, who'd been there for years. Take us inside that, how much you can tell us, you know, as fans and as outsiders. Is it as simple as keeping track of how many kicks, or is it like a regular practice and you guys are kind of just both kicking? How much can you tell us about what a kicking competition is in the NFL?
Yeah, you definitely keep track of kicks. And then there's obviously certain kicks that mean more than other kicks, like whether they're with the team or just on your own. But yeah, just keeping track of every kick and just do your best to make as many as you can.
And again, I guess that's the scenario where you are really, if they're keeping track of kicks, you don't want to know whether he's missed or not. You just got to look after yourself, because that must be distracting otherwise.
Oh, then, yeah, no doubt. I would I wouldn't know until the end of the week how it was going. I just knew how I was doing, and I was just trying to control what I can do.
How was the London experience then, and the kicks at the end of that game? We didn't have that game on Sky Sports. I work for Sky Sports TV, but we did a roundup package that night, and one of the producers put the headline on the music piece, Bend It Like Beckham, for one of those kicks. Came in late, didn't it? Came in late and hard. What was that whole experience like?
Yeah, getting to go to London was awesome. I wish we could have gotten to be there for the whole week. So we didn't get a ton of time to get to explore London, but the time that we got was awesome. And then obviously the game, I couldn't have drew it up any better in my head. The kick you're referring to, it started out on a good line, and I'm not really quite sure why it started shooting right, but I'm very glad that it shot back left at the very end. I cleaned it up on the next one. The next one felt a little bit better and was a little bit more down the middle, so I was happy about that.
That kick we referenced broke the Jags' losing streak in 2021 as they defeated the Miami Dolphins 23-20. It was an intense moment, one fans will remember for a long time after the fact, a moment that can build a career for a player attempting to make his mark, and it came with the added pressure of being in London. It was a Jags home game, but in London, when there are fans from all across the NFL, the conditions in such vital moments aren't as they would be in Duval County.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what to expect in terms of the fans, like you were saying, whether it was going to feel like a home game or away game. But I could tell early on that it was mostly loud whenever something exciting was happening. So I knew that when I was going to kick, it was most likely going to be a little bit loud. So what I like to do is just try to kick on the sidelines when it's loud, just to kind of get that in my head and prepare myself for when I'm out on the field. But for the last kick, I didn't think I was kicking it. I thought we were doing a Hail Mary and just sending it to the end zone. So I was just standing there watching without my helmet on. And then we ran that quick play and they were like, field goal, field goal. I'm like, oh, so.
Maybe that's not a bad thing to not have too long to think about it.
Yep, that's what I've had a couple people say to me. I was like, I'll go with it. It went in.
Matt, I have a theory. That was the only game being played in that window. I think as that kick went through the uprights to win the game, TJ Watt was like, I know that guy. Maybe.
I hope so. That is funny.
You never know. You never know. A couple more just about kicking in general. So take us again into the life of a kicker, the waiting around. So you mentioned it there, just maybe in the week. But practice is different. Your schedule's a little bit different, isn't it, I guess? And then in game day, you could in theory, spend 3 hours watching and then hear the words field goal and run on. I know it's something you've done all your life, but to some people who are new to the NFL, that's a kind of alien concept.
Yeah, so for instance, like last week I kicked, 2 weeks ago, I kicked one PAT and I was at the very end of the game. So, but there's still a lot more that goes into it. I have to warm up before the game as if I'm going to kick a lot. And then every time we get the ball, I still have to kick in my net and make sure I'm going. So I'm still doing a lot to make sure that I'm ready for that one opportunity. And then like the perfect example would be this last game where I scored all of the points, which obviously doesn't happen too often. But again, I have to be ready for every opportunity that I get. And yeah, just treating every kick the same.
It must be nice as a kicker. You want those moments, don't you? You know, you want those moments where your foot decides the points against the Buffalo. Now, ideally, you'd love to just be kicking extra points, but you've had a couple of games already this season where you've provided the winning points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And I mean, I'm just worried about winning and just doing what I can to help the team win. Whether that, and in college, it was a lot of extra points. And like you said, it would be great if it was just a lot of extra points and we won by a significant margin each and every week. But that's not how it goes in the NFL. There's lots of tight games. So I know that the points that I put up are going to be important.
All right. I got three very random questions to end. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a friend of our podcast. We've been fishing with him. He told me he never messes with the kickers when it comes to practical jokes because they have way too much time on their hands. How do you spend your time when you're not as busy sometimes as the other players?
I do a lot of cold tub and ice and a hot tub just to try to make sure that my body's right. Big movie guy, so I probably watch about every movie you can imagine. But yeah, that's usually how I spend my time while everyone else is studying film and getting ready for the game.
Are you a practical joke, or do you stay? I don't know if that's as much of a thing anymore in the NFL, is it?
It's less of a thing, I would say, but no, we try to stay out of everyone's way. We all got a job to do. Just try and make sure everyone's ready to do it come Sunday.
Have you ever done one of those kicks in training camp where if you make the field goal, the veterans get the afternoon off?
No, I didn't. Well, in college we had something like that, but it was just whether we would run or not. I think I missed that one. we had to run. But, yeah.
I've seen that a few times, and I actually think that might be as pressure. I know that's the whole point, right? Is to create the pressure moment. But that must be so much pressure if you got 89 guys who want the afternoon off in training camp or the next day off.
Yeah, that is for sure. Definitely a tough situation if you miss it. But yeah, it's great if you make it.
How many social media followers have you got before the London game and since? Up a lot.
Oh my, yeah, a lot.
Has it changed? Were you doing this?
Yeah, it was like probably like 10,000 across the two platforms, which is a lot for me because that's like quadruple what it was before. So yeah, wow. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
My phone would
and
not
then you're doing interview.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, really? No, it's good. No, it's good. I'm fascinated to see how you went from kind of just a guy that we see pop up every now and then and working his way around the league and into the league to kicking a game winner in a nationally televised game. I wonder if it did have I think it's fascinating to know what impact that had.
Yeah. I tried to stay off my phone as much as I could because I would go whether it was Twitter or Instagram, if I was just trying to do my normal non-thinking, just scrolling through, I would just see my face pop up or I would see me pop up kicking the ball. And I was like, I need to stay off this for a couple of days.
Do you watch kicks back afterwards?
Yeah, that's definitely something I do. I try to, every kick, I can take something from it and learn from it. So just watching back on the kicks throughout the game and try to adjust what I can. I try not to change too much during the season, but there's always little things that I can take away from each and every kick.
And the last one, this is a purely personal one, and I don't even know if the Jags PR guys know this, and I've worked with them for years. So I used to kick here in the UK. So I played for the Great Britain team. So I was a kicker, I was a tight end. So I kick barefoot. Have you ever kicked barefoot?
That's something that I've done. Yeah. I think that it gives you a good feel for the ball on your foot.
It does. It does.
Nowadays, the cleats that we wear are so, so thin that it kind of resembles that a little bit. But yeah, I can tell normally, like when I kick the ball, I don't even have to lift my head and I should know whether it's going to go in or not go in. And I can know what the ball is going to look like.
Yeah. People used to say to me, does it hurt? And I said, no, not if you kick it. If you kick it right, then it doesn't. But yeah. And actually to your point, I think that's probably why kickers pack their feet into smaller shoes sometimes, right? Because it's about that cleaner contact.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
The problem was I also played tight end. So sometimes I'd score a touchdown and be trying to hop around and undo my shoe and throwing it to the sideline and kick
it. That's funny. That's awesome.
Nowhere near as much pressure, though. It was just how quickly can we play this game and get to the pub? So definitely not quite the same. All right, Matt, it's been great. Hope to see you on many more future visits to London, kicking winning field goals. And thanks for joining us.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So there you are. That's my conversation with Matt Wright of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I enjoyed speaking to him. I'm not sure producer Gary Hayes enjoyed the 25 minutes. Wasn't the best 25 minutes of your life, Gary? How was that for you?
I had sweaty palms, a sweaty brow. It was a technical nightmare because there was even moments where Matt was dropping out, you were dropping out, your mic stopped working at the beginning. I was like, oh God, I was having to... Because I can't speak in your ear on the way we record it. I'm having to send you WhatsApps, worried I'm interrupting you mid-flow, getting you to get your mic sorted. Nightmare, but we got there in the end, right?
We did get there. This is the, I think the challenges of Zoom and speaking to players as well. Again, I've said this before on the podcast. It's hard to get active players in season. So when you do, you just do it how you can. I mean, I think Matthew was sitting in a coach's office as well, there was a bit of background traffic in there, but you just deal with it. It's going to be lumps and bumps, but hopefully people enjoyed the story and just
yeah, you're just going to have to accept it's a bit belt and braces, a bit rough and ready.
It's funny because as we were recording it, you could see people coming in and out, like you say, but then you can hear it. We tried to get rid of it on the audio, so I think we did. You can hear the door creaking, like, and then someone's like, oh, there's an interview going on. Quick, shut the door.
Fantastic. It's always good to have interesting background noise in the podcast, that's for sure.
So into the mailbag, Neil. Before we do get into it, I just wanted to ask a question of my own, as seems to be tradition now, because at the end of the interview you were talking about being a kicker before, and I'm sure Matthew is impressed, probably looking over his shoulder thinking that you're going to be on the phone to Jags ownership trying to take his place, right? But tell us a bit more about your kicking exploits, because I've heard that you could have gone far with it.
Well, I had a go at playing in NFL Europe, so 96. So I was a kicker for, well, I was a, like in British American football, I've said this, but I think you play all sorts of positions. So I was a tight end, but I sort of kicked and punted as well. But I was actually pretty decent as a kicker. I was in the Great Britain squad for a little while. I, in 96, went to tryouts for the London Monarchs in NFL Europe. And there was a whole bunch of kickers there from all over the country. And we got down to the last two. So the sort of kicking competition that Matt was describing with Josh Lambo, I had one of those at Crystal Palace Sports Centre, you know, the athletics place.
Yep.
And basically it was me and another, it got down to two of us. And so then it was like straight knockout. So, you know, both make from 25, make from 30, made from 35, 40, 45, both made from 50. Then he made from 55 and mine was, had plenty of leg and went about a foot wide from 55, and that was it. Dream over. Done.
It wasn't Clive Allen you were kicking against, was it?
No. No, well, Clive Allen was around, knocking around not long after that, I think. Might have been a bit... I think he might have come in at the back end of that season.
So we could have seen Neil Reynolds' name in lights at Stamford Bridge kicking
until
the
they got Clive
points.
Allen and realized they could sell another 800 tickets or something if they if they signed him. So, yeah, not to be, Gary, but, you know, I don't think Matthew Wright's going to be too worried just yet. But I did understand the sort of stuff he was talking about, you know, the packing the shoe into the foot into a smaller shoe, you know, getting better contact. That's why I kick with no shoe on at all, because you get the purest contact of all. There's nothing softening that kick between foot and ball. So I'd kick with no shoe on.
So what we're learning here is that Neil Reynolds was a tight end who could kick a bit and can present a bit.
The more you can do. Yeah, and none of them very well, but I'm just trying to add strings to a bang average bow.
Right, well, let's add another string to that bow, shall we?
Answering mailbag questions.
Yeah, we get some expertise on the NFL. So this is a question that's come in from Stephen 886-09909. I'm not sure if that's his phone number or not, but it's certainly his Twitter handle.
Just giving his phone number out.
if anyone wants to try giving him a call or maybe a dodgy WhatsApp message, yeah. And Stephen says or asks, it's sort of like a finish that sentence type question, Neil. This is the most open NFL season since.
Well, I can't use since because I'd say ever. I really think this is the most wide open season since I've been covering the NFL. So, you know, I've been writing on the NFL off and on since 91. I've been writing full-time since 97. I mean, as a fan from the mid-80s, I don't remember anything like this. I mean, going into week 10, there were 11 teams in the AFC with a winning record. There are still 12 of the 16 teams in that conference as we come out of week 10 with at least 5 wins, which would be enough to get you into one of the playoff spots. 12 of the 16 teams are still alive as we head towards week 11 of the NFL season. It is crazy. You look in the NFC, the top teams, Arizona, Dallas, Green Bay, the Los Angeles Rams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've all lost within the last fortnight. They've all been, and a couple of them have been handily beaten. Yes, Arizona haven't been with Kyler Murray, but it's exactly what the NFL wants. They want wide open parity across the league, and they've got it. So it just makes for very unpredictable times when you're trying to trying to break down what's going to happen in these games and who's going to win and who's going to be good. I got asked to do mid-season awards, which I hate because things change so quickly. And I was asked for an MVP. Well, Lamar Jackson's been sensational for the Ravens. He's on for 1,200 yards rushing and he's improved as a passer. So no sooner had I sent the email that Lamar Jackson was my mid-season MVP than he has the worst game of his season and gets beaten by the Miami Dolphins, who have been terrible all year. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen from week to week. Washington have the worst pass defense in the NFL and they get a win against Tom Brady. You know, that's not supposed to happen, but that is what's happening week in and week out. So it's fantastic. All we know is that we don't know.
Right. Well, with this in mind and the fact that mid-show we were talking about Game Pass and how fans can access it, especially in week 11, the last week you get your free trial. We do things timeless, Neil, but I want to put you on the spot to make you feel a little bit more on edge come the weekend. So what's your big prediction for week 11 in the NFL? I literally have thrown this at you. This isn't scripted for anyone listening.
No, you haven't. I don't have the games in front of me either. So I do know that Dallas are playing Kansas City. And I think that we'll see two teams score more than 38 points. I think that's going to be an absolute shootout. I think it's going to be 41-38 to one of those teams. But wow. I don't know the rest of the games off the top of my head yet. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a high-scoring game. That's not a shock. Between Dallas and Kansas City. I think Kansas City are back on offense this week. That was exciting. Can they do that again? And Dallas score points for fun. So if you like offensive football, that'll be a good one.
Okay, and who's our interview next week?
Don't know.
Oh. Cheers, mate.
I tell you what, you know, I'd mentioned I've put feelers out. Feelers for Thielen. Let's see. We are trying to get a couple of different people. And as I said before, some of those are dependent on teams winning and being able, things are easier to facilitate coming off a win. We had a couple of favourable results at the weekend, Gary. So let's just see. The mystery tour continues.
Well, I look forward to it. And I look forward to 9-6 in the Chiefs against the Cowboys. Yeah,
exactly. Well, that's like we had on, and obviously this time is unknown normally, but we had Green Bay and Seattle last night on Sky Sports as we're recording this. And we talked all the time about, oh, Aaron Rodgers is back. Russell Wilson's back. Three quarters into the game, it was 3-0. I was like, what on earth? We just don't. Like I said, all we know is that we don't know. So, yeah, stay tuned for next week and we'll see who it is. But for now, thank you, Gary. Thank you to Matthew Wright for taking the time for the interview, and thank you for listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast presented by NFL Game Pass. We'll see you next time. Listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork, including the graphics and videos across our social media channels. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast, help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. This has been another Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.